How did DNA, that is described as a giant data bank, originate? This is the question that evolutionists can never answer, and that by itself demolishes the theory of evolution. The question of how such an extraordinarily designed molecule as DNA originated is one of the thousands of impasses evolutionists reach. Seeking to explain life by means of coincidence, the theory of evolution can never explain the source of the extraordinary information so perfectly and meticulously encoded in DNA. Moreover, the question is not only that of how the DNA chain originated. Even the existence of the DNA chain with the extraordinary information capacity it contains means nothing by itself. In order to refer to life, it is essential that the enzymes that read this DNA chain, copy this information, and produce proteins also exist. Enzymes are large molecules that have certain functions in the cell which they carry out with the precision of a robot. Simply put, in order to talk of life, both the data bank we call DNA and the machines to carry out production by reading the data in the bank have to coexist. To our surprise, enzymes, which read the DNA and carry out production accordingly, are themselves produced according to the codes in the DNA. This means that there is a factory in the cell that both makes many different types of products and also manufactures the robots and machines that carry out this production. The DNA has to exist for the enzyme to exist, and the enzyme has to exist for the DNA to exist. For both to exist, on the other hand, the cell has to exist completely, down to its membrane and all the other complex organelles it contains. The question of how this system, which would be of no use with even a minor defect in any of its mechanisms, originated, is by itself enough to demolish the theory of evolution. German evolutionist Douglas R. Hofstadler states his despair in the face of this question. How did the genetic code, along with the mechanisms for its translation, ribosomes and RNA molecules, originate? For the moment, we will have to content ourselves with a sense of wonder and awe, rather than with an answer. Another evolutionist authority, world-renowned molecular biologist Leslie Orgel, is more outspoken on the subject. It is extremely improbable that proteins and nucleic acids, both of which are structurally complex, arose spontaneously in the same place at the same time. Yet it also seems impossible to have one without the other. And so, at first glance, one might have to conclude that life could never, in fact, have originated by chemical means. As Orgel states, saying life could never have originated by chemical means is the equivalent of saying that life could never have originated by itself. This fact is an evident proof that life was created in a conscious way. Evolutionists, however, do not accept this fact for ideological reasons, clear evidence of which is before their eyes. To avoid accepting the existence of God, they believe in nonsensical scenarios, the impossibility of which they are also convinced of. In his book, Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, about the invalidity of the theory of evolution, renowned molecular biologist Professor Michael Denton explains the unreasonable conviction of Darwinists. To the skeptic, the proposition that the genetic programs of higher organisms, consisting of something close to 1,000 million bits of information, equivalent to the sequence of letters in a small library of 1,000 volumes, containing in encoded form countless thousands of intricate algorithms controlling, specifying, and ordering the growth and development of billions and billions of cells into the form of a complex organism, were composed by a purely random process, is simply an affront to reason. But to the Darwinist, the idea is accepted without a ripple of doubt. the paradigm takes precedence. Indeed, Darwinism is nothing but a totally unreasonable, superstitious belief. Anyone with any reason would see the evidence for that great fact by looking at DNA or any other part of the universe. Human beings and all living things are created by God, the Almighty, who is the Lord of all the worlds. Today, all scientific research refutes the claims of the theory of evolution. One of the most recent examples of this is the Human Genome Project. As stated above, the completion of the Human Gene Map in June 2000 within the scope of the Human Genome Project was a very important scientific advance. However, some results of this project are being distorted in some evolutionist publications. It is claimed that chimpanzee genes bear a 98% similarity to human genes, and this is promoted as evidence for the claim that apes are related to humans. The object of this claim of similarity is nothing but an attempt to find evidence for the theory of evolution. In truth, however, the similarity between human and chimpanzee genes in no way constitutes evidence for evolution. This is fake evidence put forward by evolutionists who take advantage of the lack of knowledge about this subject in society. It must be clearly understood that the mapping of human genes today has not produced the result that humans and apes are related. One must not be deceived by those who try to exploit this progress, just as they do every scientific development. First, it should be stated that the concept of 98% similarity between human and chimpanzee DNA, frequently advanced by evolutionists, is deceptive. In order to claim that the genetic makeup of man and chimpanzee bear a 98% similarity, the genome of the chimpanzee also has to be mapped, just like that of man. The two have to be compared, and the result of this comparison has to be obtained. However, no such result is available, because so far, only the human gene has been mapped. No such research has yet been done on the chimpanzee. In reality, the 98% similarity between human and chimpanzee genes, which now and then enters the agenda, is a propaganda-orientated slogan deliberately invented years ago. This similarity is an extraordinarily exaggerated generalization grounded on the similarity in the amino acid sequences of some 30 to 40 basic proteins present in man and the chimpanzee. However, there are about 100,000 genes and therefore 100,000 proteins encoded by these genes in humans. For that reason, there is no scientific basis for claiming that all the genes of man and ape are 98% similar, just because of the similarity in 40 out of 100,000 proteins. Moreover, the above-mentioned basic proteins are common vital molecules present in various other living things. The structure of the same kinds of proteins, present not only in the chimpanzee, but also in completely different living creatures, is very similar to that in humans. For example, the genetic analysis published in New Scientist have revealed that 75% similarity between the DNAs of nematode worms and man. This definitely does not mean that there is only a 25% difference between man and these worms. According to the family tree made by evolutionists, the Chordata phylum, in which man is included, and the Nematoda phylum were different from each other even 530 million years ago. On the other hand, in another finding, which also appeared in scientific journals, it was stated that the comparisons carried out between the genes of fruit flies belonging to the Drosophila species and human genes yielded a similarity of 60%. In another case, analyses done on some proteins show man as closely linked to some very different living things. In a survey carried out by researchers in Cambridge University, some proteins of land-dwelling animals were compared. Amazingly, in nearly all samples, human beings and chickens were paired as the closest relatives. The next closest relative was the crocodile. All these examples clearly reveal that the similarity between DNA strands of two different categories of living beings by no means provides evidence for the claim that these living beings evolved from a common ancestor. Another example used by evolutionists on the genetic similarity between man and ape is the presence of 48 chromosomes in chimpanzees and gorillas versus 46 chromosomes in man. Evolutionists regard the closeness of the number of chromosomes as indication of an evolutionary relationship. However, if this logic used by evolutionists were valid, then man would have an even closer relative than the chimpanzee, the potato, because the number of chromosomes in potatoes is the same as that of man. Both have 46. These examples confirm that the concept of genetic similarity does not constitute evidence for the theory of evolution. This is because the genetic similarities are not in line with the alleged evolutionary schemes, and on the contrary, yield completely opposite results. Unsurprisingly, when the issue is evaluated as a whole, it is seen that the subject of biochemical similarities does not constitute evidence for evolution, but rather leaves the theory in the lurch. Dr. Christian Schwabe, a biochemistry researcher from the Medical Faculty of South Carolina University, is an evolutionist scientist who has spent years searching for evidence for evolution in the molecular domain. In particular, he carried out research on insulin and relaxin-type proteins and tried to establish evolutionary relationships between living beings. However, he had to confess many times that he could not find any evidence for evolution at any point in his studies. In an article published in a scientific journal, he said, "Molecular evolution is about to be accepted as a method superior to paleontology for the discovery of evolutionary relationships. As a molecular evolutionist, I should be elated. Instead, it seems disconcerting that many exceptions exist to the orderly progression of species as determined by molecular homologies. So many, in fact, that I think the exceptions, the quirks, may carry the more important message. Based on the recent findings obtained in the field of molecular biology, the renowned biochemist, Professor Michael Denton, made the following comments. Each class at molecular level is unique, isolated, and unlinked by intermediates. Thus, molecules, like fossils, have failed to provide the elusive intermediates so long sought by evolutionary biology. At a molecular level, no organism is ancestral or primitive or advanced compared with its relatives. There is little doubt that if this molecular evidence had been available a century ago, the idea of organic evolution might never have been accepted. In the light of all these information, we can arrive at the following conclusion. Similarities are not evidence for evolution. It is surely natural for the human body to bear some molecular similarities to other living beings, because they are all made up of the same molecules, they all use the same water and atmosphere, and they all consume foods consisting of the same molecules. Certainly, their metabolisms and therefore genetic makeups would resemble one another. This, however, is not evidence that they evolved from a common ancestor. This common material is not the result of an evolution, but of a common design. That is, they're being created upon the same plan. It is possible to explain this matter with an example. All construction in the world is done with similar materials, brick, iron, cement, etc. This, however, does not mean that these buildings evolved from each other. They are constructed separately by using common materials. The same holds for living beings as well. Life did not originate as the result of unconscious coincidences, as evolution claims, but as the result of the creation of God, the Almighty, the possessor of infinite knowledge and wisdom. In addition to all the information we have detailed so far, we think it would be helpful to emphasize another fact. Of course, there are very similar species on the Earth. For instance, there may be species similar to horses or cats. Insects, too, are very similar to each other. However, these similarities are not surprising to anyone. The rhinoceros beetle and the rhinoceros also resemble each other very closely. However, no one attempts to form an evolutionary relationship between these animals, one of which is an insect and the other a mammal. It is obvious that such an attempt would be quite ridiculous. However, for some reason, some superficial similarities between man and ape attract the attention of certain people. So much so that this attention leads some people even to adopt the imaginary scenarios of the theory of evolution. However, in truth, physical similarities between an ape and a man mean nothing. Other than the superficial similarity between them, apes are no closer to human beings than other animals. Moreover, when intelligence is used as a point of comparison, the bee, which produces the geometrical wonder of the honeycomb, or the spider, which produces the engineering wonder of the web, are closer to man than the ape. We can even say that they are superior in some aspects. Between man and ape, however, there is a tremendous gap, never to be closed by fairy stories. After all, an ape is an animal, no different from a horse or a dog in terms of consciousness. Man, however, is a being who has consciousness and will, who can think, talk, reason, decide, and judge. All these qualities are functions of the spirit he possesses. The most important difference that causes this huge gap between man and other living beings is this spirit. No physical resemblance can close this gap between man and other living beings. The only being that has spirit in nature is man. In the Quran, this superior quality which man possesses and which differentiates him from other living things is referred to as follows. Then he formed him and breathed his spirit into him and gave you hearing, sight, and heart. What little thanks you show. Surat As-Sajdah 9. As mentioned before, with the announcement of the latest point arrived at in the Human Genome Project, some incorrect comments were made. In particular, some publishing organs started to deliver misleading messages and misinform the public so that the impasse the theory of evolution has reached were not further revealed. Earlier, we mentioned the misleading messages evolutionists gave about genetic similarities and made it clear that these are subjective interpretations which do not provide any evidence for the theory of evolution. The subject which is mostly promoted and highlighted with different slogans and headlines by the Darwinist materialist press is the claim that the discovery of the gene map suggests that the fate decreed by God can be challenged. This is a great misconception and deception put forward by certain circles. The headlines recently appearing in the printed press and in the course of discussions in television programs give the impression of a stealthy indoctrination. It is a great mistake to present the information on the Human Genome Project accompanied by messages like, "Man will no longer be defeated by his destiny." For in truth, the mapping of the human genes has no relevance whatsoever to the flow of man's fate. It will be useful to give the definition of destiny to help eradicate the distorted understanding of destiny so prevalent in society. Destiny is God's perfect knowledge of all events, past or future, as a single moment. A majority of people question how God can already know events that have not yet been experienced, and this leads them to fail to understand the fact of destiny. However, events not yet experienced are only so for us. God is not bound by time or space, for he himself created them. For this reason, past, future, and present are all the same to God. For him, everything has already taken place and finished. This is true for everyone and every event. For instance, God has created everyone with a certain lifetime, and everyone's moment of death is determined as to its location, time, and form in the sight of God. If, in the years to come, someone's lifetime is extended with timely interventions in the genes, this would not mean that this event evaded that person's destiny. It simply means the following. God gave this man a long life, and he made the completion of gene mapping a means for his life being long. The discovery of the gene map, that person's living in that period, and that person's life being extended by scientific means are all his destiny. All is determined in the sight of God before this person is born into the world. Similarly, someone whose fatal sickness is cured through the discoveries made within the scope of this project has again not changed his destiny. That is because it is this person's destiny to recover from this illness by means of this project. Consequently, completion of the human genome project and the fact that man will be able to intervene in the genetic makeup do not mean confronting the destiny created by God. On the contrary, in this way, mankind follows the developments created for it by God and explores and benefits from the information created by God. If a man lives 120 years thanks to these scientific developments, this is surely a lifetime decreed for him by God. That is why he lives so long. In brief, expressions like, "I cheated fate," "I changed my destiny," or "I intervened in my destiny," are the consequence of ignorance caused by not knowing the facts about fate. On the other hand, a person's using these expressions is also predestined. How, when, and under which conditions he will make these statements are all determined in the sight of God. When the Human Genome Project became a top issue, some publications made yet another different claim. They alleged that by the advancement of the science of genetics, human beings will be cloned, and therefore, human beings will create human beings. This, too, is a very distorted and far-fetched logic. Creating means to bring something into being from nothingness, and this act is peculiar to God alone. The formation of the identical copy of a living being through the copying of genetic information does not mean that this living being is created. When a man or any other living being is cloned, the cells of a living being are taken and copied. However, never has a single living cell been created from nothingness by man. Consequently, the discovery of the human genetic makeup by no means implies man's challenge to his destiny, and it never can. Every incident, every act of speech, and development are all predetermined in the sight of God according to a certain destiny. So are scientific developments and the innovations they will introduce. God is all-knowing and all-encompassing. The fact that everything, big or small, takes place within the knowledge of God is related in the Quran as follows. You do not engage in any matter or recite any of the Quran or do any action without our witnessing you while you are occupied with it. Not even the smallest speck eludes your Lord, either on earth or in heaven, nor is there anything smaller than that or larger which is not in a clear book. Surah Yunus 61. This is the truth. Man is a being created by God with all his wonderful features, and who is subject to the destiny he ordains. When a person grasps this fact, he sees that everything takes place in a single moment in God's sight. With this comprehension, the earth starts to seem like paradise for man. All kinds of material troubles, distress, and fears disappear. The man resigns to the destiny God created for him and starts to watch the flow of this perfect destiny. For a person to grasp this secret is the greatest success in the world. This program is based on the book by Harun Yahya, The Miracle of DNA.